And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Wednesday. It is Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, temperatures outside 72 smoky degrees. Man, I'll tell you, air quality alerts up and down the valley. It is, it's kind of nasty out. It smells. Smells like a campfire
out
there.
Thought that was you.
Man, I woke up this morning and went out, and I'm like, is that, you know, sun hadn't come up. I'm like, well, that's not fog because I can smell it, although there was a little bit of fog earlier this morning. At least we're getting some sunshine out there right now, and we should warm it up today into the upper 70s. Some spots might touch 80, and then we'll get rid of this smoke tomorrow. Winds ramp up out of the south, southeast, up to an over 30-mile-an-hour wind gust tomorrow. So hang on to your hat kind of day with highs in the mid to upper 80s tomorrow. So a nice hot end to Big Iron. So we've got a couple of guests with us this afternoon. One is Bryce Palmer from Weather 2020. I'm sure we've all heard of Weather 2020 and the LRC. Bryce, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
And we've got Levi Otis from Ellingson. I want to thank you for joining us, Levi.
Happy to be here.
All right. So for people that aren't familiar with Weather 2020 and the LRC, Bryce, can you explain what Weather 2020 is all about? And most people know what the LRC is, but right. For those new listeners that aren't familiar with it, explain to them what the LRC is as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Weather 2020, we are a long-range weather forecasting company. We provide many folks in the ag sector, construction, food services, food or delivery, transportation. We provide them with data and information, not only what the weather is going to be 10 days from now, 15 days from now, but we provide them with what the weather potentially is forecasted to be 3 months, 6 months, and 9 months out, allowing companies and individuals to make decisions, whether it be on where they're going to travel to, what they're going to do with their agriculture operations for the year, how they're going to transport things from point A to point B, whether they're going to use rail, whether they're going to use semi-truck. The applications are endless for this technology to be able to help these individuals really make decisions. It's another tool in your tool belt that you can use to look out into the future.
And I know the LRC has saved some companies, I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars, and in one case, is it Elanco?
Elanco,
the pest control company, saved them over, was it a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Close to $1 million?
Yeah, there was
a
lot of money saved there.
So, and just because they knew what the long-range forecast was going to be.
Yep.
What else should we know about the LRC, or maybe something new that's coming about the LRC down the road here?
Absolutely. So this is a patent-pending model. So you're not going to see this everywhere. We're one of the few companies that charts this type of forecasting, this long range, with the accuracy we get. So what happens is, with the LRC, is a new cycle sets up every October, usually about the 5th or 6th of October. And what we've gathered in our research is it's when the North Pole goes dark. The weather patterns start to change, and then we begin to chart that cycle from that first part of October into November, December, and once we have that down, usually about the first part, end of November, 1st of December, we can use that to then project out towards the next new cycle. So it's a way to be able to use this year's data, what's happening currently right now, to be able to look ahead and say, okay, we believe this is going to be a wet and rainy year, or a dry year, or hot year, cold year, whatever it may be. We're able to look at that using what's currently happening today. We don't have to look back in the past.
And I know I've had a couple of farmers reach out to me via email asking, what does it look like for harvest? What does September look like? And according to the LRC, it was a dry and warm month until that third and fourth week, especially the end of the third week, which is the end of next week. And I was showing Levi this yesterday, that now our medium range models are finally honing in on a wet end to the month, which the LRC predicted 5 months ago that the tail end of September was going to be a wet period. And that helps farmers in terms of, all right, we're going to have to take a break for harvest during this week. It's just going to be too wet to do much, and maybe they can get more done earlier, postpone it till later. Levi, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
I appreciate it.
Let everybody know what do you do?
Everything.
Ask, you shall receive. I mostly handle government affairs for Ellingson. So I am the policy director, director of government affairs at Ellingson. And being in the water business, there's a lot of regulatory issues that come with agriculture and water. So I navigate state, local, and federal regulations and mostly work on behalf of our customers, helping them, again, navigate that process. I do a little business development or get out among the community and make sure that we are giving back as much as we can. So that's another piece. And then things like LRC or these types of things that cross my radar, how can we use this to make a better experience for our customers and reduce our costs to try to keep our costs lower for the farmer.
Perfect. Now, explain to everybody, how did you stumble across the LRC? and what were your thoughts on it?
Well, I don't think I used the word fairy dust like Bridget a few years ago, but, you know, I've got a number of friends in media and in town, and some are meteorologists and very traditional, which is great. I'm a fan of NDON. There's right. A lot of data that comes from NDON that I use frequently and appreciate it very much. You've been doing this, I don't know. Yesterday you said 3 to 4 years, which I probably know that, you know, somewhere in the back of my head. But it wasn't until December last year where I'm like, okay, Jay's all about it. I'm listening to your 2 to 5 show and. And I think it was around December 6th or 8th. I don't remember. But every time you got on there, I put a post-it note on my office computer at home with a date, and I'd circle it. And in June, I looked out the window, it was pouring, and I'm like, and then I looked down at my computer, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Right? So that was one. And then all of a sudden, the next post-it note, I checked the mark, and I'm like, is this for real? Right? And so you went 3 for 3 within a day or two, and I was like, you got to be kidding. Like, I'm still, it kind of gives me goosebumps.
Right? It's like, how does this work?
It's like seeing the future, and I talked to our guys, and I'm like, for the amount of work that we do that's weather dependent, I'm like, I got to get them up here, and Big Iron is a great time because most of our other execs come up, and it just worked out that we could meet yesterday.
So. Right. Right. And so, I mean, this could help your company in terms of what, like staffing, where you're going to put the people if you have to shuffle them around?
Yeah, or? So we run several plows, drain tile plows, where we put in plastic tubing into the ground for water management. The example yesterday is if we sent up a crew or two up to Crookston thinking that we're going to start putting in tile, and you get a 2 or 3 inch rain like we've seen this summer. Now we're sitting there for a couple days. We have to remob, send them somewhere else so that ground can dry out because, believe it or not, too wet is too wet even for us. When maybe it's south of Wahpeton that has missed all the rains and it would be a great time to put in drain tile, it's cost savings for the farmer. It's cost savings for us. How can we be more efficient, less miles on the road, so to speak, and just execute our seasons because we are seasonal dependent, right? When the ground's frozen, we don't put in tile. Then we only have a window from when the ground thaws to when you're going to plant, right? And then if you have a year like this where you have tremendous amounts of rain and we prevent plant, yeah, I can do the work in the summer, but traditionally it's your spring and fall seasons after harvest. So you've got very limited windows. How do we get in? And where are we placing all those plows? I mean, we're talking close to 100 people that are weather dependent just in our company on one project.
Because when you say remobilization, that's not just, oh, I got 5 guys and a shovel.
Right.
That is
5 semis worth of
equipment and yes. people. And you're exactly right. If there is a different place that we can do that, that's huge. We don't know exactly how much rainfall is going to happen, but if we can see an extended period of time, you understand what that does.
And I'll give you another
example.
You guys see our tile on semis. Mm-hmm. There's only 5 rolls on a tile or on a semi. Think about how many semi loads it takes to fill 1/4 of land of tile.
Sure. Keep hauling.
And yeah. they can't make it overnight, right? Mm-hmm. So if we know that it's going to be wet in the early part of May, maybe we start sending those tile loads to southern North Dakota versus northern North Dakota.
Exactly.
Right. So it's just the amount of people that we rely on and the equipment that we rely on, the product that we rely on, it's all weather dependent. And now you're giving us maybe a solution to some inefficiencies that we fought for 150 years since tile's been going in.
That's awesome. Yeah, sure. That's awesome. Bryce, if anybody is interested in the LRC and they want to get this for their farm, for their business, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So probably, well, if you're in the Fargo-Moorhead area, come on down here to Big Iron today because I've got a booth set up. We're over in the Hartle building.
Right.
And I've got a booth set up. I'm running demos. So if anybody wants to see it in action, we've got a dashboard that you can use on your computer. We've got an app you can use on your phone. You can see it. We can dial into where you live. And
goes down right to county level.
Goes down right to county level, absolutely.
And you said you were showing demos and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I actually got a video audio clip here from, this was back in May or end of April. I think it was May, of a three-month prediction using the LRC for something that doesn't really happen that often. And it was a targeted hurricane hitting the Panhandle or Northeastern Gulf.
It's happening right now.
Well, for this one, yes, but this one is for the one in August. And Addison, if you want to cue that up, that was a three-month forecast that ended up verifying last month with Hurricane Debbie that hit the Panhandle of Florida.
The system that produced that severe weather, that disaster in Houston, is directly related to one of the systems that we identified in November to occur next August, coming up in 3 months. That's going to produce a tropical storm, a named tropical storm, 65% probability of that, over the northeast Gulf of Mexico between New Orleans and Tampa in that area. So the Houston disaster will be shown to be related to it. And how can I show that is by predicting it now. So I'm going to put it on LinkedIn. I'm going to put this prediction. So on August 10th, 12th, 15th, 18th, somewhere in there, when there's a hurricane forming and heading into that area of the northeast Gulf of Mexico, we won't just be saying it. We'll be saying, here's the forecast from 90 days ago, just like this 100-day forecast. I just wanted to lay that out there.
And that forecast ended up verifying with Hurricane Debbie that slammed into the southeastern Gulf on the 9th or 10th of August.
Yeah, it's just, and the voice you heard was Gary Lezak, CEO of Weather 2020, who discovered the LRC and is really starting to really perfect it. He's got his own LRC model that he runs now. So this is just a huge step in meteorology and in terms of being able to forecast long term. It's it really is. And for us to be a part of it on the cusp of something that down the road is going to be, I think,
revolutionary.
More mainstream. I think eventually this is going to be more of a mainstream way to forecast. And again, saving companies money.
Well, and think of the farmers, right? We know earlier is the better of planting day, right? So if we know that something's going to get wet within a few days, right, we're going to be more apt to go and tile it before they get their rainfall because we want to get them in, get the ground worked, let them plant, and then you get your million-dollar rain right after the seed is planted.
And that matters tremendously. And it also helps to settle once you've got those tile runs in. You want that rain to help smooth things out.
And even look this year, I mean, the difference between 3, 5, and 7 days of planting is making a huge difference as we round out September
now.
I mean, someone who got in 7 days after somebody else, their crop might not get finished,
particularly
depending on what they grew.
Yep.
Yeah. And Bryce, you're running some specials.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other way is if you can't make it in, weather2020.com. It's just weather2020.com. Go on there. We've got some specials. If you use promo code WDAY, wonder why I picked that one.
That's awesome.
If you use code promo code WDAY, 20% discount off of our dashboard subscription, and that is either a single state, total U.S., or a global view, 20% off. And because you're WDAY listeners, we are also giving it's our dashboard, our mobile app, and then we've got a daily ag report, weather conditions around the world in the growing areas, as well as a weekly what's happening with weather and the LRC cycle. So all of that's in that package. Go to the website, WDAY, just type WDAY, 20% off.
Great.
Sweet.
And we're working on throwing in a couple of extras, a couple of signed headshots of Bridget and Justin just to throw in there. So
that's nice.
If that helps push people, you know.
I don't think that helps.
I think you just cut the business, Dean. Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Always
really
appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being at Big Iron. For those of you who aren't here, you're going to want to hang around. We've got more guests and more things to talk about that are happening here at Big Iron. 2024, it's not just a farm show, it's construction too, and we'll tell you why. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus here at Big Iron 2024. It's not just farm show, it's construction as well. Ooh, and speaking of construction, we have a guest with us today, and that is Casey Erickson. Casey is with Morton Buildings. He is kind enough to host us in this fabulous little shop today.
Thanks for having me back.
Thank you. We're really glad you're here. So when it comes to farm shops, what are some of the new trends or specialty features that people want to see built into their shops these days?
That's kind of a tricky question. With farm shops, it's more about planning out your shop properly.
Okay.
You know, it's more of a, when they're looking to invest in the farm shop, it's far more, it's an investment for the farm. It's not necessarily they're going for pretty features or things like that. They're looking for utility, you know, whether it's insulated and they're going to work in it,
yep,
or whether it's cold storage and they just need to, make sure it fits everything they want to fit in that building, right? I mean, one of the biggest complaints we get, maybe not complaints, but they never build it big enough.
No, that's true. No one has ever said, gosh, my farm shop is way too big.
Exactly.
Never.
You know, so from the very beginning, we can help them plan it out space-wise and make sure that they can fit everything they want in there, or if they need to bring lifts in for equipment or things like that, helping them plan that right away so they don't regret that down the road.
Right.
And I think that's probably where I'm leading with it is, you know, how do you begin that process with them? Do you take a little site visit, so to speak, when someone says, I think I'm ready to build?
Yeah. Yep. We'll come out. We can actually throw some tape measures out, measure out their site, see if it's big enough to accommodate what they're looking for, help them with the pre-planning, what the site preparation is going to look like for that building, talk with them over their equipment. You know, I mean, it's not uncommon for us to throw a tape measure on a piece of equipment and make sure it's going to fit through the door that they're looking at putting in there, right?
That's right.
Yep.
Do you only use a certain standard size door? Do you always use garage doors? Can you do bifolds? I mean, how does that look?
Anything and everything. So on this building alone, we have a sliding door over here. Mm-hmm. We manufacture those ourselves. We can also put overhead doors.
Yep.
A lot more we're seeing bifolds and hydraulic style doors because they want to get that 50 wide, 60 foot wide. They want to bring the combine header right through, you know.
Yep. And make sure. And how long have you been with Morton?
2.5 years.
Have you been in construction before that?
I was in building material sales before that.
Because I was going to ask, in the last few years, what I would imagine the shop sizes have changed significantly.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it was 10 years ago, it was a lot of 50 by 100s or 50 by 60s. Now it's a lot of 72s, 80 wides, 100 wides. Mm-hmm. They're just building the biggest shop they can so they can bring everything in.
And office space.
Yep. Yep, office space, bathrooms are really common. It's actually not even uncommon now to have, like, a meeting room.
Yes.
You know, when you have hired guys, you can bring them into the meeting room. They can have a fridge and a sink and wash up and talk about that day's plans.
You know,
how about, like, building a bar in there, too? Can you build a bar in there?
You can totally build a bar in there if you want, yep.
So I know you kind of mean that jokingly,
right,
but you have no...
If you have a meeting room and you've got clients, why not?
You have no idea how many farm shops I have been in that have bars, the man cave, the TV room. I was at Farm Progress in Iowa, and we were in a farm shop about 6 miles south of the site, and he has a whiskey and bourbon bar. Like, it is a backdrop of a bar with his collection of whiskey and bourbon. There was a golf simulator, a shuffleboard, a big conference table. I mean, that's not everyday stuff.
No, but we've even seen it where we've put the trophy room.
Yeah.
You know, if he's a big hunter, he'll, because you've got the sidewall heights, you can bring in that big elk or moose or whatever,
absolutely,
and you want to hang it on the wall, you know.
So I'd say that's pretty impressive. Eric, as you think about who's coming to see you at Big Iron today, any recommendations if they're coming in to kind of shop, should they have some idea of what they want to talk about, or where should that conversation start?
Generally, it'd be nice to have a size to start with.
Okay.
We can always change that down the road, but if they know a pretty rough idea of what size they want, we can help them plan what doors will fit in that building, what kind of office space they could get, or bathrooms, things like that.
That would be awesome. And hopefully you're having a good day of visiting with folks here.
So far, it's been good.
Very nice. Yeah. Again, thank you for hosting us.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for being here.
And we're going to talk to you again tomorrow.
Perfect.
We're going to have a little bit of time. Tomorrow, it's just Justin and I.
Mm-hmm. I'm out of here. I'll be golfing.
Well, this thing could crash and burn. It might fly out of control. It's really hard to tell.
It'll be a good landing. Don't worry.
We'll land her nice and safely. Okay, so folks, do not go anywhere. We haven't even touched on the, well, we sort of touched on the weather, but we've got another guest coming up. We also have still, there's so many things. We've got free caps. You got to come and give us your yield guesses for Here We Grow. I've got some of our WDAY Steigers, so swing on by. We want to see you down here in the Morton Building during Big Iron.
And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 1:36 on this Wednesday afternoon. We got another rundown of your forecast coming up here in just a moment. But if you're out at Big Iron, come on out to the Morton Building. Say hi to us and check out some amazing building plans that they got here in the Morton Building. Got some free fun stuff here at our stand. You can also guess the yield on our 20 acres of corn that we're growing. If you're the closest to guess what the average yield or bushels per acre is, then you're winning yourself a bunch of free stuff.
Right, there's a
we got
rain
a rain gauge, a grain gauge, some other thing that rhymes with rain and grain.
I hope so. I have
a brain gauge. We'll give you an IQ test.
I had a guy stop this
trouble.
Morning.
Yeah,
and he said, "Is it the really good rain gauge with the tube inside?"
Of course it is.
I said it is. They are made by Productive Alternatives out of Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, aren't they aren't they National Weather Service approved?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Maybe. Yeah.
Sweet.
Of course they are.
That's what I'm saying.
Of course they are.
Well, they're Weather and Ag and Focus approved.
Sure, I approved them.
Totally fine.
Dean says they won't break if you freeze them.
All right, we got a guest that joined us today. And, of course, that's the guy that's sort of in charge of this whole operation out here at Big Iron. That's Cody Cashman. Cody, executive director, is that the right?
CEO.
CEO of the Red River Valley Fair.
Yes.
And Big Iron. How's it going? I mean...
Honestly, I just spent the last 2 hours out trying to get cars parked because it's been
it's unbelievable
day. Right. Honestly, I am just thrilled with our attendance right now.
Wait, you put on your high-vis vest and went out with some yellow traffic, air traffic control cones?
I don't know if I did that, but I stood out there and I was waving people. It's unbelievable. We do still have parking. It's you're going to have to walk quite a bit.
We learned that out firsthand. we got here a little late.
Oopsie.
Yeah, it's like, come early, stay late, enjoy Big Iron. You can't see it all in a day. You just can't. It's not possible.
So there's a ton of stuff that's going on. First and foremost, let's talk about the big thing, the concert tonight.
Yeah.
And that is?
Lee Greenwood and Home Free. We're so excited. 9/11, of course, right?
Yep.
We are ecstatic. That opens at 5. Gates open at 5. It's completely free.
Yep.
We are so excited to be able to offer that this year. It's great. It worked out really well last year with Rodney Atkins. This year, 9/11, it made all the sense in the world to reach out to Lee Greenwood's team, and he is eager. He's backstage now talking to all of our guys, having a great time. Very personable. I love him. Absolutely love
awesome.
Him.
Awesome.
For those of us who remember Lee Greenwood back in our younger years, you might say, this is your opportunity because some of these performers don't tour very often, and he's one.
Yeah.
So the fact that you get a chance to come and see him is kind of a big deal.
It is. And you know, we're really thankful for our sponsors that helped make it possible. I mean, as you guys know, Lee Greenwood is not free, and none of the production's free, obviously.
Well,
and
he's not a volunteer.
No, he's not a volunteer. And you know what? And he shouldn't. He's got talent, and he deserves it. It's just, you know, these things cost a lot of money to do a free concert. And so we're excited to offer it. Titan Machinery Case, they're the proud sponsors, and we're really fortunate to have those folks in our neck of the woods. And so it makes it a lot easier for us to be able to produce these things. And we have a great staff. Our staff is phenomenal. They work tirelessly. I mean, I'm lucky. I get to walk around and do things like this. I get to go talk to people. Behind the scenes, our folks are doing a phenomenal job. Our board members are the ones in the tractors and in the people movers, and they're going around and volunteering their time to make sure people have a great experience, and that's what we're trying to do.
So when you think about the size and scope of Big Iron, like you said, it's hard to see everything in one day. How many new folks and vendors came in this year that wanted to be a part of this operation?
I was just told, and it was yesterday, I want to say it was like 43 new vendors this year, which is unreal.
That's great.
Unreal. I think that's the right number.
Yep.
And I'm extremely happy about that. That means that there's a lot of growth potential. And if you include, obviously, the new side of construction, I think that adds up a little even more. We have a few companies over there that I've never seen at Big Iron before. So I'm really excited to have them. Grand Farms here for the first time. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal for us. We've been excited to have them here. And
they're essentially running all the demos right now.
They're running all the demos. All the demos for the ag side of it.
Yes.
And then they have Autonomous Nation to tomorrow, which is going to be unreal. I'm excited to see what they bring out here. And I think they're expecting 400 people just for their seminar they're doing. So it's going to be awesome.
Cody, what would you say to somebody who is not in agriculture on the fence or thinking about even coming out here to check it out? Like, I'm not in ag. Am I going to like this?
You know, I tell everybody the same thing. That's a great question. I didn't grow up in ag, essentially. I grew up in 4-H, and I showed animals and things of that nature. And I don't know much about crops. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I'm learning a ton, of course. You come to Big Irony, how can you not? In this area, you learn a lot. I tell everyone to get into agriculture because, I mean, gosh, it's so important. I mean, think about it. How can you vote for something? How can you do something in life and not even know where your food comes from, for gosh sakes? I mean, I'm making sure my kids know when they're eating chicken nuggets, they're eating a chicken. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really important. And a lot of people go, wow, that's kind of barbaric. It's not. No. It's just facts, right? Yeah. And I think facts are really important. I think we should do I think this area thinks that people know more about ag than they do. And that's why I'm a huge supporter of the Fargo metro area getting FFA. I think they need it badly. 4-H needs to keep growing. We're doing a great job with that. But not just kids, but adults. Like, adults mm-hmm. need to come to Big Iron, check it out, see what a combine costs, see what a sprayer costs, and then talk to a farmer. Ask them the questions. Why do you need this? What is this machine, right. And why do we need it? Why can't you do it? Why can't you just put the seed in the ground and hope it rains? Like, give them the example. Talk about the soil. There's so much data here that's available. There's so much knowledge. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Even if you know nothing about ag, it's so interesting. I mean, think about all the engineering that goes into all of this. I mean, right. Just the math, the science. I mean, there's so many jobs. Plus, look at the economic engine in this state, in this country, that is agriculture. That's why it's so important. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
When you think about the things that are going on out at Big Iron, you have a lot of demos. One of them is the Soybean Council has folks at 10 o'clock and at 2 o'clock every day, and they are demonstrating a soy-based firefighting foam. Yeah. And where is that happening?
Oh, cool.
So that is happening right just south of the Ag Education Center, right next to the Chevy booth. And it's really, really cool. If you think about what they're doing is essentially they came up with this new foam, fire suppressant, if you will, mm-hmm. that can put out fires. And it's eco-friendly, right? Mm-hmm. The chemicals they put on, they sometimes don't use it on a house because they're like, well, we can save the house. But we don't want to ruin the house with these chemicals because they can cause cancer and cause other problems. This soybean-based insulation, from what we're being told, is just as good, if not better, and it's economically friendly. Plus, again, we come back to why is ag important? What are we doing with it? Helps increase the value of soybeans, which helps the farmers, which helps mm-hmm. all of this. It's just a rising tide floats all scenario, right. And it's awesome.
I think there's a big thing there, too. You had mentioned that the soybeans are being used as a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
It's not just food that ag goes to.
I mean,
there's tens and tens, if not hundreds of thousands of different textile and other forms of non-food-based things that you use soybean oil for, sunflower oil, all those different
things. The research that goes behind it, the dollars it takes, right? Your soybean growers or your soybean council, those folks are sending money for research and things of this nature to find out what else we can use with soybean. They've got essentially a spray made of soybeans that you can put now in gravel instead of chloride, calcium chloride.
And it holds down the dust.
And it works.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing. Technology that nobody realizes is out there, and it's so important because we have it here. It's here. We have it. We have the most of it. I mean, Cass County alone is the largest soybean producer in the country, so it's really, really cool. I have friends here from Maryland. They're the largest farmers in Maryland, right? One of them does 4 million bushels of soybeans.
Wow.
And even he's over here saying, holy cow, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, we can do this a little bigger and differently.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely
huge.
And Cody, you were talking earlier about how people should familiarize themselves with ag and learn more about it. You tell us a little bit about the Ag Education Building.
Yeah, the Ag Education Center is at the forefront of what we're trying to do. Essentially, we're really fortunate. We had a building, we had the bare bones, and the idea was, hey, let's turn this into a year-round Ag Education Center. Again, coming back to the fact, Fargo, West Fargo has zero ag education, which is shameful in every way, in my opinion. We're trying to fix that. So the goal is have an ag education center, make it so these kids can go through it and learn. What we did was we went to the Soybean Council first. They were like, we need this to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, well, we need insulation. We need air conditioning. We need all this, right? Found out there's soybean-based insulation.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We put that in that building.
Nice.
And they paid for it all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They paid for all of it. They paid for the tin on the walls. It's unreal. Corn Council said, hey, we're going to one-up you. We're going to put corn in the ground. So currently you can walk in that building and walk on corn. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's epoxy. Yeah, it's epoxy.
And it's never been done. There's none in the United States. There's none in the world that we know of. Nobody has ever done this before. Now, my dad at the Maryland State Fair wants to copy it, I heard. So, you know, we're really, really fortunate to be able to have that ability. And plus, the immersive reality room, that is the future, in my opinion, of education, especially ag education. So now we can take a classroom of about 20, 30 kids, put them in the immersive reality room. They can go in and go into a swine operation. Mm-hmm. They can go into the soybean crushing plant. They can go into the ethanol plant. They can do all these things. They can actually get the education that we could never give them, because you can't just go in an ethanol plant. Or a chicken farm, right? Think about a large laying operation. You can't just go into a chicken house. They're not going to let you. There's biosecurity, right?
Right.
So now we can do these things and show kids what it actually is, and adults, obviously. But my thought is we need to focus on that age group of like fourth to sixth grade, because they're not sure if they want to go into ag, right? It comes right back to that. Why do I want to be in ag? Not just for money, not because we're – because it's awesome, mm-hmm. right? What we do is awesome. All these people here at this show, it's amazing to see the knowledge, the generations. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. And what we do with the ground, what we do with all these ag commodities and things, it's amazing what we do here. It's so fun.
And weather has obviously cooperated this year. I mean, you can't ask for much better than this.
So I was always told you want it to rain on Monday before Big Iron so the farmers can't get in the fields, right?
Yep.
And it didn't rain. I was like,
oh no.
Is anybody coming? And let me tell you, they're here. It's unbelievable.
How does attendance look this year so far compared to the previous years?
As of today, I would say we're up a little. I can't really tell yet. We're kind of waiting. We use a thing called Placer. It's an app that we use that tells you how many self, because we don't charge to get in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we use that to tell us how many people are on the grounds. Right now, that data is always 2 days behind, so I don't even know.
Right.
But from what vendors are telling me, they're definitely experiencing a lot of foot traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the right traffic or not, I haven't really heard a whole lot about that yet or not. So
one of the things that I have been told so far just of this morning is, yes, they're seeing more foot traffic. Folks who are here, as always, when they come to Big Iron, they actually came to talk about what are the possibilities. Maybe they're not buying a brand new combine, but they might be talking about something else as an attachment that can be a part of what they do. They're maybe buying smaller scale items.
Yep.
And also vendors have noticed there's a lot more show specials here than usual.
Oh, yeah.
Folks want to wheel and deal on inputs with you as a farm, yep. So you're going to want to stop by and visit with them.
And with the construction side, I'll be honest. I was like, man, I just don't know if people are going to go over there. And a few of these machine companies, so they've sold some skid steers and some different implements. That's great. That's nice. What we wanted. We want people to do business here. That's the whole point of what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Educate. But then, you know, of course, we want our vendors to make money.
Sure.
Every
day. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
So
this has worked out phenomenally. And so, Cody, just thank you for stopping by. I know that you have lots going on, especially if you've got to go back and park cars. Is it like valet? Can I just stop at the stop sign?
I've been given a lot of rides on my buggy out here. So.
I bet you probably have to. Yes, because
how do you say no?
That's a good thing is when you have a lot going on. So thanks to all the volunteers who help out. Thanks to you and your staff, Cody, for making sure that Big Iron goes off well this year. And thanks to all who are attending.
Yeah, thank you guys for the support.
Yeah,
thanks, Cody.
Appreciate it.
Much appreciated. Folks, we got to come back with weather. There's probably a few more things to recap, and we'll talk to you right after this.
And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 1:53 on a Wednesday afternoon. We got a rundown on your forecast coming up here in just a moment. Guys, fun time out here so far at Big Iron.
It's been
a lot of people. You know, I don't know what he was talking about parking. I got front row. I don't know if it's legal, but I got front row.
Yeah, your car is not going to be
there. It might not be there when I get done.
Yeah.
It's probably not.
That's fine. But that's surprising. Like he said, that parking is tight. There's a lot of parking to the east here, so people must be just everywhere.
Well, I was all the way back in the D lot, way at the end. And,
okay.
Well, A, B, and C come before that.
Yep.
And those are some pretty big lots. I'll tell you what, there's a good amount of people here today, and there's a lot more today than there was
yesterday.
Yes.
Without a
doubt. For sure. And it's cooler today so far, thankfully.
It has been. The overcast clouds, the smokiness this morning was nice.
Yeah, how about all that smog?
There's a lot of red sun.
There's people a lot of little red dots across North Dakota with unhealthy air, and you know, it's improving, but I mean,
I'll be honest,
it kind of smells like a light fire out there.
It happens from time to time up here. And I am sorry to all the asthmatics. This is probably killing you.
Oh, for sure it
but
is.
But still, our air quality is still better than the majority of states on the coasts.
Well, yeah, much better than over there. But in parts of areas of the central and eastern U.S., we actually have some of the worst air quality, with an exception for out west where those fires
are
at.
Where the fires are at.
Yeah, that's where it's the worst. But that's where it's all rolling in from, and we'll see improving conditions on the smoke and the haze. It's not going away, but it will get better throughout today, and tomorrow will not quite be the same as how thick that smoke was today. So with that, we'll have a check on that forecast right now.
Right now? Because just a sec. Other good things, before I forget, that grain gauge that we're giving away when you guess our yield for our corn that we're raising and giving our profits to Farm Rescue. The grain gauge is sponsored by IntelliFarms out of Castleton, so please make sure you stop either at their booth or ours to give your guesses. And then also our friends at Red Wing Shoes and North Dakota Estate Services, we thank them for all of their work on that project as well for Here We Grow. And I'm a little concerned. There's a couple flies here, and apparently I'm the target. I don't know if it's by the fly or by Dean trying to kill him, but something's going to happen.
Oh, I got
here.
That one.
Okay.
That one's toast.
That's going to leave a smear on that laptop.
It's splattered all over the laptop.
Yeah, that's okay. It's company laptop.
Thanks. No, that's a personal laptop.
Oh, sorry.
You get a company laptop?
You might want to wipe that
off. You didn't?
Oh, man. That's kind of grody. I didn't think there was that much juice in a fly.
For those folks who have been out to Big Iron yesterday and today.
Is that how they make bug juice? That,
that's
like,
right.
Kool-Aid
that's
looking
it. It is.
Drink?
Let us know the things that you have seen or you have enjoyed here at Big Iron, because there's some pretty cool ones. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, for sure. What's the coolest thing you've seen so far, Bridget?
Actually, I had a listener stop yesterday after we got off air, and Rick said, I love listening to you guys. Thank you, Rick. And he also said he was unaware that there was a rock picker that could literally, instead of you doing it by hand, would go along, and it does. It actually has a big spinning wheel, and it throws rocks into a bucket to haul the rocks away.
Funny thing about that is I actually just bought two of those super big rock pickers in my farming simulator game, and I was rolling through the fields picking rocks.
Yes, and this guy?
It improved my environmental score, so I got a bigger bonus on when I
went
to sell.
Yes, you would have.
Yes.
For those of us as kids who had to pick rocks manually, or maybe a little
that sucks
PTSD. PTSD over that.
Now you can spend $64,000 and you get a tiny little rock picker.
Right. So, okay, last year we drove around
even
on the,
more than that.
Last year we drove around on a cart for a while, and we all looked at equipment. Have you guys looked at anything this year and said, I don't know what that is or why that looks really cool?
You know, haven't had a chance.
So far, I haven't really seen anything that I didn't know what it was. Maybe tech-wise, yes, but from just... Yeah, that's tillage. That's a seeder. That's
right.
A combine head. No, I haven't seen anything. I don't know what it is. But
okay.
Specifics, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot out here that I have no idea about.
There's
like that
cool
right
things.
There, that's a plow. That's going to rip the ground up. Beyond that, yeah, it's got some discs, I think, on it. Multiple tires.
It does have discs.
Looks like it's approximately maybe 16 meters wide when it's unfolded.
That's actually just a big heavy disc that you don't plant with that.
Well,
you just do tillage.
You do tillage.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
You dig up the ground.
See, and from our window location here at the Morton Building, we can see all sorts of those things.
We can. We're going to be back here tomorrow at the Morton Building. Well, me and Bridget will. Dean's
I'll be golfing.
Fine.
That's cool, dude.
I'm on a golf trip.
He says golf trip. We know better.
Yeah, what are you going to do, Dean?
What do you want to call it? Extended happy hour?
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
You could call it
you
that,
call what
I
you
suppose.
Want.
What's the weather going to be today? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, the wind will ramp up out of the south. Windy, windy day tomorrow. That will help scour out a lot of the smoke with temperatures tomorrow in the mid to upper 80s.
I was letting you know we had 10 seconds left in the show. Okay, everybody, see you later.
Go.
Bye.